Hello and welcome to this week's Therapy for Me, and it could be a long one. And that's not because a lot of stuff's happened to me, it's because a lot of stuff's come along that I've been quite intrigued by, or incensed by, or triggered by, or charmed by, or pick the descriptive word, the descriptor of your choice. So much to the point that I've ended up with six things I want to talk about, which means I'm going to have to throw one of them in the intro. So I'm going to start with something that I just thought was the best of us to a certain extent. And that is that environmentalists working in the Forest of Dean have been building rope bridges for dormice who have lost two trees in the forest and therefore having to cover a large amount of ground to get between trees, and they feel exposed and vulnerable when there are large amounts of ground. So they've built these 20 meter long rope bridges. And I'm thinking it's like the thing at the end of Indiana Jones, the second Indiana Jones movie, you know, the one where he cuts down, that kind of thing, for these dormice to actually go across so they feel less vulnerable. That is beautiful. If nothing else this week, if there's nothing else that touches your life this week, and I've had one of those weeks where I needed a story like this, then that is just absolutely beautiful. So I'll put the link in the notes. In fact, you could even stop here if you wanted, because I don't know whether it gets any better than this. I'm going to get you talking about a few things or thinking about a few things. I don't know if it gets any better than this, though. So huge, huge kudos, big tens to all those people working in the Forest of Dean who've come up with this as a solution, and I really, really hope it works. Right, on to a bit of that twangy guitar, and let's get started.
Monday.
I was listening to the Oh God, What Now podcast, and at the end of that podcast, which used to be called Romaniacs, and I've mentioned it many times before, I haven't listened to it for a while, but I tuned in this week, and at the end they do a kind of a thing called Under the Radar. And in the Under Radar thing, the guests, as you'd expect from the title, they give a story that they think is important, but is not picking up much in the way of attention. And one of the guests, who's a political journalist, gave this story about something that's going on at the moment with carers, with a whole group of carers, who are being hounded by the Department of Work and Pensions on the back of an appalling scheme that effectively is costing them thousands and thousands of pounds, and in a lot of cases costing them mortgages and all manner of things, or they're having to take out debt or what have you, to solve a problem that is awful. And when I describe what it is, you'll realise why I think it's awful. And it shouldn't go under the radar. And it falls into that post office category thing. In fact, do you know what? If anybody's listening from the Daily Mail and you had any form of moral fibre, you'd stop hounding Angela Rayner about potentially £1,000 worth of, capital gains tax, which she may or may not owe, and I'm not going to get into the minutiae of that, but you could stop hounding her about that and start actually taking some interest in something like this, which really is quite shocking. So here's the thing. If you're a carer, there's an allowance you get as a carer, which I think it's something like a maximum of £81.50 a week. It's one of the lowest actual allowances. And for that, you have to prove that you do something like 35 hours worth of caring to be eligible for that benefit. Now, at the same time, you can earn money, but you can only earn money up to a maximum of something like £120 a week. And this is the kick. It's not about those two figures, though in of itself, those two figures, when you think about them, are quite shocking. And the route to getting to them is quite shocking. But here's the bit that's really, really, really unfair. And I don't know how you can excuse it. If you go over that £120 worth of income in a given week, the DWP can claw back any of the allowance they've given you, but they can't claw it back like for like. So if you earn 50 pence over the allowance that you were supposed to have earned, the DWP can then come and take back all of the £81.50. So let's say arbitrarily it's 125 quid, and I don't know exactly what it is, but it's in the 120s. You earn 126, you go a pound over, and the DWP can strip you of the £81.50 that is effectively money that you're being paid because you're doing 35 hours worth of care for a relative, for a family member, whatever it might be. And we know in these situations, these are often young people are doing these things, and they're often caring for an elderly, for an older relative, or you're caring for people with very complex needs, which is why you're doing what you're doing. So they are. So now what's been happening is DWP have been going after these people. They don't tell them when they go over. They don't give them a warning. They don't give them any information to help them. And then they've been going after them for sums in excess of £10,000, £12,000, £15,000 at a time. These are people who, by their very nature, can't earn more than £200 a week. By their very nature, because the two things they're working within say they can't do that. And then you're getting somebody who's effectively coming and saying, do you know what? I mean, I can do the mental maths. They're coming after them for a figure that's greater than what they theoretically can have a year. And I don't know how nobody's picked up on it. I really don't. So if there's anybody on from ITV, this might be your next thing. But ultimately, for all this nonsense that we get in on our newspapers, why aren't you covering things like this? Because this is what injustice looks like.
Tuesday.
Okay, I'm going to talk smoking next. Told you it was going to be a heavy one this week. Only because the Rishi smoking bill's gone through its second reading, which means it's now going to go to committee stage. It's gone through its second reading because the Labour Party have supported it. The thing that's interesting about this is I'm finding myself slightly in the same camp as such luminaries as Kemi Badenoch, Penny Mordaunt, Suella Braverman, Lee Anderson, Liz Truss. Not because I necessarily agree with their take on something, but I'm really all over the place with this piece of legislation because of the nature of it. So if you don't know what it means, what the proposal is, that anybody born after a certain year, and I think it's 2009, I'd have to check, but anybody born after a certain year will never be able to buy tobacco, never be able to buy cigarettes. And that is going to be the route that we're going to get to a complete ban on smoking. The bit of it that's difficult is more complex, is the fact that that's an arbitrary point that you pick, which means that on either side of that line, for the lifespan, really, of people who were born around that, so for not a generation, but for, you know, we're talking 60, 70 years or whatever it might be, you're going to have two groups that have the law applied to them differently, even though they could be born a day apart. So if you're born on the 31st of December 2009, versus being born on the 1st of January 2010, or the other way around, whatever, however it works, you're going to be treated differently as far as the law is concerned, because one of you is going to be able to do something and the other one of you is not. Now, you could say, well, okay, the law works that way now, and it does. Of course it does. You can do things below the age of 18 or below the age of 16 or whatever it might be, you do something, and below the and above the age of 16 or 18 or whatever it might be, you're treated differently by the law. But that's a point that you pass through, and everybody passes through that. Now, I don't know if it's right or whether it's wrong, and I don't know if it's... And by the way, I don't fall out with the concept. This is not a pro-smoking thing, right? This is not me saying that I've got a problem with where we're going on smoking, because I do think it seems to be a genuine... I think the public is very much with this. What I'm talking about is whether this is the best way to do it, with that arbitrary nature of the fact you're going to have at a point in time when those people hit 30, then you're going to have a whole group of people under 30 who are treated differently by the law than a whole group of people over 30, and then you have got a whole group of people who are 40 treated differently to a whole group of people who are 41. And that's the bit I don't quite know if I made my mind up on it. I don't know if maybe continuing to what we're doing, ban on advertising, raising the prices, all those kind of things are having the desired effect on smoking or not. The other thing about all of this that I'm really, really can't get my head around is this is just cigarettes, okay, where are we going to be on vaping in a short period of time? Because I don't know yet, and none of us know, where we are on vaping in terms of whether vaping is something. Because actually, what you're doing with the smoking ban is you're not stopping younger people, because younger people aren't smoking, they're vaping. So where does this address all of this? If your problem with smoking is people who are way past this age, then this legislation is going to do nothing for the people for whom are addicted to smoking now. So that's the other bit that's not necessarily practical. The example given the other way that's interesting is that if you take something like pension, we do treat bits of the population differently. So we tell a certain portion of the population that, by the way, if you were born here, you can retire at 65, but if you were born there, you can retire at 67, and we continue to do that. So that's the example the other way. So I get it. There are precedents for it. I just don't know if I agree. I don't know how I feel about that either. But this one, I don't know. It's an interesting conundrum. I just don't like the fact that in thinking about this and trying to come to an opinion about it and form a view on it, that I'm in the same group as Lee Anderson.
Wednesday.
There's a new musical out about a guy who strapped 42 helium balloons to a garden chair and flew over LA back in the early 80s. And before you say anything, I know what you're going to say. This sounds remarkably like the film Up, and you're absolutely right, it does. But go back way before we knew about the film Up. In 1980, whatever, I think it was 1982, a chap in LA, a sensible chap in LA, strapped 42 helium balloons to his chair and set off. And he planned that he was going to float for however long, and he took an air pistol with him. To shoot the balloons to regulate his height and to also sort out his descent. Okay, so he goes up, and then when he gets too high, he starts shooting balloons off, and then he floats for a bit, and then he uses the air pistol to then take out balloons to bring himself down. And they've turned that into a musical. I think that's fantastic. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Now, the fact is, the story is a little bit more complex than that. And I think at one point he got to something like 7,000 feet, which is far higher than he thought he was going to get to, and was reported by a couple of planes and had to very, very quickly get rid of a few balloons to get down to something that was more manageable. So I don't think that it was necessarily, whilst there was some method to his madness, there was still a little bit of madness involved. But I just think the whole concept that somebody in 1982 did that thing that you would expect to be something from a cartoon and just made it happen, and that they're now making a musical about his escapades, I think is absolutely fantastic. So I'll move you on from... I've kind of thrown this in now just for a bit of light relief, because I know it's a bit heavy in places this week, but there's a bit of light relief there. And I'll put a link to the story, but 42 balloons. Man, that's fantastic.
Thursday.
You know when you start a week off and you're not quite sure what it's going to bring, and then something happens that you weren't expecting, and you then try to contextualise this thing to think if this is exactly what you wanted through your week and always beyond your wildest dreams. Well, this week, Rishi Sunak wrote to me. He must have wanted to write to me, because it said on the letter, to you from the Prime Minister. You open a letter like that with trepidation. Turns out that all that Rishi really wanted to know is my views on a lot of stuff, including how I voted. And some of it's almost comical, because it so contradicts itself in terms of the things they're asking and what the priorities are that they want to know what I have as my set of priorities, what I would do for the country, what you know I would be looking for from a future Conservative government. And there's a couple of things about it which meant the initial excitement of being written to by Rishi dissipated relatively quickly, and I got slightly irked by it. The first thing is, I don't like the duplicity of things like this. I don't like the fact that there's a party political nature of this. I don't know who's paid for this. I've no idea who's paid for this at all. It could have been paid for by the Conservative Party. I kind of hope it was, because it's clearly electioneering. This is party political. But even if it has been paid for by the Conservative Party, that's not how it's being passed off. And I don't like the fact that in an election year we are getting stuff through the door like this. I think it's a I think it's a misuse of the office. If the Conservative Party had written to me and asked this question, if Rishi Sunak as leader of the Conservative Party had written to me and asked me this question, then that would be fair enough. But I've been written to by the Prime Minister in this particular instance, and I have a slight issue with that. Now, you could say, well, that's because you're a raving lefty. Part of the, you know, tofu-eating wokerati, some of which is correct. I'm not a raving lefty. I'm very much a centrist, and I don't like tofu, but there or thereabouts, there's a bit of something in that if you take the hysterical nature out of it. I'd feel no better about this if it had come from the Prime Minister and that Prime Minister was Keir Starmer, or if that Prime Minister had been Gordon Blair or been Tony Brown. The other thing that I really can't get over is the fact they've been in power for as long as they have, and they still have no clue as to what the British public actually want. So anyway, I've kept it. I'm not going to fill it in, obviously. If you want this information from me, you can come and ask me politely. You still won't get it, but I'd prefer it if you fronted it up and came and actually asked me to my face, because I would have a few things to say to you. But I still don't like the fundamental bit of, look, share your views with the Prime Minister. Do you know what? No, actually. In this case, no, because I don't think that's the route to try and get the opinions that you need.
Friday.
If you've been listening to TFM for a while, and I mean a while on this, if you're a newbie, you might not know, but if you've been listening to TFM for a while, you'll know that when I record this, I have all the weeks in any given month on a single file. So basically, because I don't need to do a new one of these every single week, I record them in months. So if I'm looking at this screen now and I've got my recording from the 1st of April or from the week commencing 1st of April, I've got my recording from the week commencing the 8th of April, and I've got this week's recording, which is obviously week commencing the 15th, and I've got space underneath for the next two, 20, 22nd, 29th. And to keep them different on the page, I colour code them. So the first week of the month is always lime, and the second week of the month is always blue, which means that we always have a blue Monday, and the third week of the month is always red. Now, I don't know why it falls in a way that my red weeks are my kind of ranty weeks, but they see it seems to happen on a fairly regular turnaround. I don't know what it is about the third week of the month, but red weeks do tend to be ranty, and I have tried to put things in this week that have come along that have been a little bit more amusing. And I've, you know, and it's not that I've had an overly ranty week necessarily. It's just that two or three of these things have got me slightly riled. So I've had a Riley Red week, and it seems to have fallen well again. But I'm not going to leave you with anything red necessarily. I'm going to say to you that we have become a full-on vintage household. So actually, if you walk around our household at the moment, what you'll find is lots of garments on coat hangers. And the reason they're in coat hangers is because they're in various states of preparation to be resold. So my eldest son, a while ago, started selling trainers on Vinted. He started buying and selling trainers, and he's done quite well. And he's been buying things and largely doubling his money because he's got a kind of an idea of the things that sell, and he buys cheap and he sells high and all the kind of things you'd expect. And he came to us last week and said, I'm going to buy a bale. Okay, what's a bale? A bale is effectively a box full of clothing. So he's bought this box with 30 items of vintage clothing in. It's a mixed box. And the idea is that you will double to triple your money when you sell this thing on. And after having looked at numerous ones, we settled on one and it's arrived. So it is now taken over the house. because some of the stuff's had to be washed. Some of the stuff's needed ironing. It's all needed photographing. It's then needed cataloguing, and then it's needed listing before hopefully it sells and it's moved on. So we seem to be, in the way that my life has been condensed into what is the garage. So my office is in the garage, and a bit of the garage I've stolen and turned into something that looks like an office, and that's all my worldly belongings are kind of here. It seems to be going the opposite direction for my eldest, who appears to be taking over the house with this little business venture, because it seems to be touching all of us. So if anybody in your family, particularly if it's someone in your family that happens to be in those sort of mid to late teenage years, comes and says, I've got a great idea to make a bit of cash, I'm going to do this, just be careful, because it gets out of hand. And if he's now talking about a bale that would bring a couple of hundred items in, and I haven't got a clue what's going to happen then. So just take this as a nod in your direction, that if it comes your way, you might want to give it maybe a little bit of thought, because we're now in the middle of whatever Vinted Zero looks like. Right, that's me. That's me for the week. I hope you're well. Hope you had a good week. Apologies for being a bit red through the week, but you know what? It is what it is. I hope you have a great weekend. Forecast not too bad. Yeah, United have got Burnley tomorrow at Bramall Lane, which is going to be an absolute... it's a potential game we could win. It feels like a six-pointer for two teams that are both going to get relegated anyway, if there is such a thing. But, you know, we'll see how we get on. And I will look forward to speaking to you next time.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.